Well, I don't know if you guys are new to me. Yesterday I was online and I found this video, and it's all about like 9/11 and how the planes just the base towers they shouldn't have fallen, and how it showed us like it was different from the bombs and the engineering of the twin towers that caused it. Cause, like, the entire sea building of the country, I don't know how many years ago, but it didn't fall, like, it didn't fall down. It didn't collapse or whatever, so, because it only started
Did you watch that?
I think that was the Twin Towers.
Yeah, the Twin Towers. I got it.
That was a nice car movie.
I don't know.
Yeah. We should watch that.
Hold on. You fellas in the back, what I'm hearing is like static on the radio. I don't know if there's anybody else like me, but we're conducting a conversation of four or five others going on in the room. I hear chaos. So if you want to contribute, just jump in, be part of the discussion. But it's, you know, maybe you're discussing what we're discussing. Share it with the group. If not, be a little courteous, okay? So you saw this video on the internet that it's about the theory that
it also mentioned that they think they might act because before they had drills in the Twin Towers, so everybody had to evacuate, so that's how they came that the bombs were planted inside of the Twin Towers. And then 4 years before the plane hit, before 9/11, the dogs were taken away, so they didn't even have to throw the bombs.
Okay, anybody have any comments about this before I make my comments?
It sounds really crazy.
Yeah, it sounds too.
I would be scared to death if these people were on a jury if I was accused of a crime. And this is why. Now, I'm not criticizing you because it's out there and you saw it, you know? But everything is what if, could have, might have been. But yet they want to convict the administration for blowing up the Twin Towers. Could you imagine if people like that were on juries? It would be a very scary world, wouldn't it?
Well,
Piskevich was in the same town as the murder, and he owns knives. I saw him cutting steak down. He must have murdered the woman that was knifed to death. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. It's crazy. And I don't know. Anybody else have any comments? There's just, go ahead.
I saw it too, and it's online, but you can get it, like, if you read it. And, like, it sounds really stupid, but, like, it's kind of, like, really interesting to watch because everything they say, like, there's evidence to what they're saying, and they show everything, like, played out. And, like, it sounds stupid because it sounds stupid, like, when I just heard it, too, but, like, when you're watching it, it's, like, you won't look like it's stupid.
The problem with that, though, is you're a captive audience when you're watching the video. You're not getting two sides. You know what I mean? The experts that built, for example, the architects could probably debunk a lot of the stuff that's in the video, that kind of thing. Like when Fahrenheit 9/11 came out. You're going to have your opportunity. You don't feel that. When Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, a few months later, what came out and changed a lot of people's minds? Fahrenheit 9/11. Now they proved that it was crap, the movie. Photos were taken that didn't match the dates that were being portrayed on the skin of a screen. It was played off as a documentary, and most of it wasn't even true. It didn't happen. So given time, you're going to have books written on the subject. You're going to have other alternative videos coming out, I'm sure of it. And people love, like, the Da Vinci Code, and they have all kinds of books proving that the theory's crazy coming out. People are on lecture circuits talking about the Da Vinci Code, debunking all the assumptions. The book was written, for example, as fiction, but as you read the book, it's really promoted as fact. It starts out, fact, this happened, but this is a fiction book, you know? So now you have people, like I said, on the lecture circuit debunking the stuff even in the Da Vinci Code. Anybody else, though? You're hearing these theories. What are some of the details of the theory? I think that bombs are what they're planted in the World Trade Center.
Not even that. Well, I was going to say it was based in the plane, how there are a lot of theories where there's a part of the plane that they said shouldn't have been there, how it was supposed to be like some sort of thing that would camouflage like a bomb or something. If you watch the other alternative videos and the alternative stuff, you can actually plainly see that it's just landing gear that the terrorists might have accidentally hit a little bit because it partially had come out of the plane. Mm-hmm. That was the weird object of the bottom of the plane that no one knew what it was. Just landing gear before it actually hit the tower.
So you're saying there's explanations for
there's a lot of them. I have a website.
See, it's already happening. This stuff is coming out and it's being debunked, right? That same theory they had spewed out concerning Hurricane Katrina, right? Remember? George Bush blew up the levee.
Yeah,
they
did that one year, and people in, because it was on 60 Minutes or something, mm-hmm. like that, or something like that. And they're saying a lot of, Louisiana residents still think that. They think that it was, because they did it once before, I think.
These same people that think that, too, they're also the ones that didn't leave when they were told a Category 5 storm was on a direct course for their homes. So how bright are they? You know what I'm saying? I hate to be cold, but George Bush planted explosives, not him personally, but his administration, planted the explosives to blow up the levee, and what's the theory? To kill poor blacks. This guy's got the blackest administration in history.
Really?
And they're not like the bathroom attendants in the White House. Mm-hmm. I'm the Secretary of State, right? The first one, black man. When he retired, black woman. Okay, Secretary of Education, black. But yet the guy hates black folks. And he blows up levees to kill them. It's nuts. And then they did a survey. Guess who was affected most by the flooding? Poor white folks. They lived there, not black folks. But yet immediately after George Bush was responsible, he got in Air Force One, he steered the hurricane over Louisiana, and then he ignited the bomb. You can hate George Bush, you just don't make up stories. Okay, it's ridiculous. Now this thing with the Twin Towers, they spun the one story that Bush knew, man, he knew. That didn't work. So now it's he blown. You know, if not him, Dick Cheney. Because he's like the evil, sinister, wicked scientist behind the destruction of the world. Yeah. Okay? Which is ridiculous also.
I think a lot of people, you just hear it and it's like, oh, I hate Bush. I think that started it started off bad for him, that he wasn't really bold in it, and there was the confusion with the votes and stuff. And then it just started off bad with him, and then I guess people just you get off on the wrong foot. And then people just add to it, and like you say about the immigrants and about the poor black people, and it's the complete opposite, but they still hate him,
See, even what you're, I agree with what you're saying, but even the idea that he started off on the wrong foot and that he, it caused him not to do a good job, this is kind of controlled by the media too. Because there are areas that even members of his own party, of course, are not happy with. They stand on immigration, things like that. Some Republicans think we should have went to war in Afghanistan, but not Iraq, these kinds of things. But overall, the promise to lower taxes, what was the first thing he did? We all got a rebate on our taxes when he got into office. It didn't take long. The war on terror liberated two countries. Like it or not, 22-year-old Americans liberated two entire countries in record time. These are things that are going to go down in the history books, and he's going to be of our latter presidents, 20th century and beyond, whether you like him or not. You can hate him, but he's going to go down as one of the greatest in latter history. It's just unbelievable when you really think about it. Prior to his administration, there was this cry by a lot of activist groups, that the United States should do something about Afghanistan. The issue wasn't necessarily terror, but it was the plight of women, how they were abused, how they were beaten, how divorce was so easy. It was legal to beat women. Their husbands could legally beat them. Girls were forbidden to go to school. You know, all of these horrible abuses. Justice was not uniform. It was left up to tribal chieftains. We had stories circulating in the news, like a young girl that was accused of being promiscuous. All of the tribal leaders raped her and then threw her off a cliff. She didn't die, so they dragged her up to the top of the cliff again and dropped her off again. This was the kind of justice you had there. We go there, clean the Taliban's clock, establish a new government, and George Bush is a flaming idiot. I don't get it.
How long were we there for?
In Afghanistan, we still have troops there.
No, like how long were we really there for? Like
the war itself?
Like
it was months.
Most of our...
The majority of the war itself was just months. I don't know how many, but...
It didn't seem like we were there that long. It was like Afghanistan, oh, Iraq. Like... They just like land, then it was like you hear like nothing about Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think that you could start like a stable government there in like 2 months and have it stick.
Well, it doesn't. That's why we still have troops there.
I know.
We still have troops in Germany, by the way. We forget that. We still have troops in Germany, don't we? Yeah. We still have troops in Japan, don't we? The Philippines. Now, of course, Germany doesn't need our troops there any longer. And for 10 years after World War II, American troops were being sniped by Nazi thugs. Same things. You know, you have Nazi terrorists killing American troops in Germany for about 10 years after. Okay? Now the Germans just want us to stay so they can sell our GIs German products. It's good for having U.S. troops there is great for the economy.
There are two things, actually, that I heard that happened over the weekend. One was that in Iraq, we lost the big portion, I think it was called the Anbar province. It's about a third of the size of Iraq, and what a lot of the top officials in the military are saying right now is that when we're in a certain province in Iraq, whenever we're in a certain area, we can keep that area, but then whatever area we move out of is lost to Al-Qaeda. That was one of the things that came out big in the news, and I'm just wondering what are we going to do now that we have so many troops in Iraq? What would we do, let's say, if there was another major crisis in the world somewhere else? What would we do? Because we don't have enough troops anymore. They're all stationed in Iraq. Let's say something, for example, another kind of Hurricane Katrina, something like that would happen in this country.
Hopefully it would happen in a state where you had competent leadership. Because that was that's what that whole thing rose and fall. President Bush, in that instance, here's another thing. He did something that was unprecedented. No president before him ever declared a state of an emergency before the emergency occurred. But that escapes everybody's attention. He got on the news and took a huge chance, because if that hurricane went a different direction, he would have looked like a jackass. Because once you declare a state of emergency, now government funds are available to that particular state. The governor can call on the federal government to use those resources. So he didn't wait for the hurricane to hit and then declare it a disaster zone. In advance, he did that and freed things up. Okay? Long in advance. I think it was like four or five days before it was coming. Where was the governor of the great state of Louisiana? Where was Mayor Ray Nagin? These are the people that were there. We do have state governments in place. The federal government isn't your god. In fact, we fought a war over state rights, didn't we? So that governors could control their states. It's just amazing.
But still, what would we do for in that case?
With the war, you mean?
Well, yeah, because I mean, we have.
Like, if there was another hurricane.
Well, even something like another terrorist attack.
We do what we did already, right? What we did, because we were in two different countries, and plus, they're not the only two countries we're in. We have troops deployed all over the world. Did you guys forget Kosovo? Yeah, you don't even remember it. President Clinton declared war against Serbia. It was during the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
He declared war against Serbia,
said we would be out. This was early in the year, said our troops would be home by Christmas. They're still there. But nobody complains about Kosovo. But yet we still have U.S. troops that are keeping law and order.
But what are we going to do if there is an attack on this country?
We're going to do the same thing we did when there was a natural attack against the good people of Louisiana. Call up the National Guard, redeploy troops, and prioritize things.
But how, it took, like, what, 4 days for them to get water and food down there? Even though they knew, as you said, that President Bush knew 4 or 5 days before.
It's not his responsibility to handle it.
It's not the President of the United States' responsibility.
It's the state government's responsibility.
Just the state.
The President did what he was supposed to do. He freed up the federal agencies. He can't invade and take over the state. It's up to the state's governor to call upon the resources of the national government. And they didn't. They delayed. They didn't know what to do. They were absolutely clueless. They did things like, now we have poor people stuck in Louisiana, right? New Orleans, not the state of Louisiana, but the city of New Orleans. Why weren't the elderly, the infirm, and the poor people evacuated on city buses in those 5 days before the hurricane hit? Because President Bush didn't go down there and give the mayor a memo, this is what you're supposed to do next. Every state, every city is supposed to have disaster plans. Where were his? Did he leave him at home that morning when he went to the office or something? Because from what I saw, pictures on the news of something like 1,400 yellow school buses in the flood zone flooded out. They should have been, what you do when you know a hurricane is coming, some of your families may have boats or homes down the shore. Are you going to leave your yacht on the lagoon when the hurricane is coming? No, you're going to sail it out of the hurricane zone. Let the hurricane hit, then come back. Same thing with heavy machinery. Why would I park all of the city's expensive machinery in the flood zone? I would have evacuated with those poor people on it and taken them to higher ground somewhere and left the buses there. These are the simple things that Nagin didn't do. But yet, first press conference, where's the government? You are the government. What'd you do? Nothing. Even in defense of Mayor Ray Nagin, he can't control every facet of even his workforce. And, when I look at what happened to the police in New Orleans, there was no comparison to what the police did in New York City. You know, I'm watching these images of police participating in looting.
Yeah.
Dropping, quitting
they
a job.
Crazy. Yeah.
Oh, this is too hard. I'm going home. No, you took an oath to serve and to protect. Even at the detriment of your own family, you keep order, okay? And, the images of 9/11 are firemen and police officers running into a building that they knew was coming down. The images in New Orleans, although there are heroes, you didn't have the same character of police force. You know, as much as New York City's police force is denigrated, they did their duty. It was amazing.
Who's in charge of FEMA? Is that the government?
Now?
Well, but no, like...
The federal government.
Like the federal government. Mm-hmm. So, like, why did they send so much to FEMA?
Why did they...
Like, why didn't they get water?
Yeah, I don't have all the answers. You know, apparently, you know, the FEMA is accused of delaying also.
Yeah.
And I don't know all of the details.
Like, we hear you saying, like, George Bush declared a state of emergency 4 days before. Like, why was it the mayor's responsibility? Like, I'm not saying the mayor was, like, amazing, because he obviously could have done a lot more.
Yeah.
But, like, did he, like, was he supposed to say, oh, bring us water? Or, like, why didn't they just bring some water?
Why didn't they just bring
it? Why didn't they, like, prepare it? Like, if
part
he knew
of
the, it was
part
happening.
Of it was, part of it was because law and order broke down. And you can't send in people, like, even the Salvation Army. Yeah, there's no way. Suppose I was a Coast Guard pilot or something. I'm not dropping in 4 Salvation Army nurses into an area where there's gunfire. I'm just not doing it. The people are going to go without water. That kind of thing. I think when you had that breakdown of law and order, it created a lot of chaos also. The first thing, you know, the Army, I don't know about FEMA, but the Army has a checklist. You know, law and order has got to be established before there's any kind of distribution of goods. And that had to be in there. And the local agencies failed miserably. Even the hospitals. One of the most appalling stories that came out of the program is how patients are being euthanized.
Yeah.
That's sick. Oh, we don't want them to suffer.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. lethal injection.
Isn't that illegal?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Unless they signed
like,
yeah, but they figured some doctors were figuring in the flood zone when the generators went out and everything and evacuation was slow that they just feed some of the patients that were dying along. You don't know that they're going to die. We've had some amazing stories of people live, and you know, if my relatives are dying, let them die, don't help them. Okay? Or if I'm dying, you know.
Don't kill me, Atlas.
Yeah, don't kill me, let me linger. You know, that's a broad issue that we'll talk about later, too, but these kinds of stories are coming out.
Still, I'm still wondering, though, I know that, as you said, that President Bush did declare a state of emergency, and that you're saying that he did what he could to get the people out as soon as possible, but I'm still wondering what, we still lost thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
How many did we lose? Anybody know the numbers? I know it's well
I don't know the number. It's like some outrageous number.
I know right off the bat, the news was like 15,000 people. Then we sound like no bodies. Where are all these bodies, you know? 15,000 people
in the water.
I don't see anybody floating in trees.
Probably somewhere stuck in the ocean right now, but...
No, what happened was it was nowhere near the number. It's, you know, in the region there may have been
thousands. Yeah, there's still a lot of missing people. Yeah.
Just like on 9/11, we heard 10,000 immediately. And then it turned out to be 3,000, which is tragic, but it's not 10,000.
But still, what are we going to do with our military if they're over in another country and there's, let's say, an attack on this country?
What we would have to do is prioritize and then redeploy.
There's not time. It's not all of them.
They're rotating.
And they're training
You have reserves, you have a National Guard, there's always troops in reserve, just like a football coach would have players.
Yeah, right, I know.
Would make good sense.
I'm safe for the draft.
Yeah, right, the draft.
I'm safe there.
The reason also, folks, listen to this too, because I don't know what time it is. Everybody know what time it is?
What time is the period in? 102? We have like
10,
about 8.
This is what you have to think of also when it comes to, because this is an excellent question. I just want to say this first. If you abdicate your responsibility to lead, you're going to lose your ability to lead. If the United States doesn't take a leadership role in the world, somebody else, like China, would be more than happy to. So we can retreat from the challenges of our century, but then we are not going to be... we are not going to be setting the agenda for the future. Somebody with a different world view will. Now just take the United States and China. Who has a superior world view? You're hesitant to say that because, ooh, that might be racist. It's not. The way of thinking. It's nothing to do with being Chinese or being American. We have a conception of justice here that is absent from China. We don't have political prisoners here. China does. We don't have forced abortions here. China does. We don't have communism here. They do. You have freedom of speech, press, religion, petition, and, thank you God, the right to bear arms. You don't in China. Okay, so whoever's worldview wins matters. So if you fail in your responsibility to lead, you're just creating a vacuum for somebody else to rise into. Now, when you look at our troops deployed all over the world, you don't want all the troops at home. Because what if a crisis starts halfway around the globe? Now you've got to send them from the United States, and that takes time. You take a look at the Middle East, just as an example, and my maps, by the way, are only meant to represent countries, not to look like them, okay? In the Middle East, you have Israel, right?
Here we go again.
There you go.
You have... Here we have Afghanistan.
Excuse us, Mr. President.
Sure. You have Iran, Iraq, and you have Israel. Up here is Syria. Now, leaving out some countries that are obviously poking between, Jordan would be here, Lebanon would to be here somewhere. Okay, but look at how Bush is stupid, right? Because you've all heard that one, too. Now, there are a lot of things I don't agree with him on, and I'm not a Bush apologist, but the Middle East has been a problem that presidents since Jimmy Carter have been dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it's only been getting uglier. Our principal enemy right now is which country on here?
Syria.
What a beautiful thing to have troops already on the ground here. Already on the ground here. Some of the administration didn't think of that when we fought these wars. Do you understand? If they don't behave themselves, we've already got air bases on the ground. They're right there. We're in bombing range. We're in occupation range. All the supply lines are already in place. Okay? Without that restraint, what could these guys do? Maybe they'd be using those nuclear weapons right now. You know? I don't know.
Isn't there a possibility that everything that's happened with Israel and Iran, I was explaining the situation, that there could be a possibility of the next world war?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
see, with me, I believe that it's coming. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
But that's because I believe what we're talking about as far as the biblical calendar. It may be 100 years from now, maybe 1,000 years from now, maybe next week. I think it's coming. There may be more than one more world war in between, but biblically it definitely will be in this region of the world without question, and historically you see that this is where
it's been the crusade since everything started,
and it's never going to stop because no one's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I guess I don't believe in my religion anymore. You know, it's never going to stop.
That's no one's going to go, oops, I was wrong.
That's why this war on terror isn't going to end anytime soon. It can't.
It can't end.
What's that?
I don't think it'll ever end, because as long as people continue to have the beliefs that, you know, well, these people are evil, you know, we have to kill them, and vice versa, it's really never going to end. It's almost like, you know, we're just going out there for other reasons.
And I think Matthew is absolutely right. It's not going to end for that reason. And you might argue, well, religion is all bad then. Why don't we just not have religion? The world tried that before. What's the famous experiment? Russia.
Boom.
And look what they did. They murdered more people than Hitler did, right? Stalin was responsible for murdering something like 15 million people in his own country. And it collapsed, and you had a secular state without values, and it ran amok and killed a lot of people. So the answer isn't no religion. The answer is
respect other people's religion.
What's that?
Respect other people's religion.
We made a habit, though, out of respecting radical Islam and look where it got us.
Should
be freedom, and the competition should be among ideas, right? Your religion should not spread by the sword. If your religion is right, it's going to spread. When your religion isn't correct and you feel threatened, like your beliefs might be defeated, then you take up the sword. I don't need to go out and slaughter Islamic people. I just need to debate them and they're done. But probably that will make some of them angry and,
I'll
have to go into hiding. Okay? But that's my point. I'm saying, I'm sorry if there's anybody Islamic here. I know that you're not terrorists. Okay? I'm talking about a wing of Islam that is very, very radical. Matt, and then Melissa.
I heard two statements made recently. One was by Cheney, but the one that stuck out a lot in my mind was Donald Rumsfeld's. And it was when he compared Nazi supporters, appeasers, to the media.
Appeasers.
Yeah.
I agree with it.
So the media, the people that the really important questions that have to be asked of the president, the people who disagree with the Bush administration, the people who say, well, maybe these guys are wrong, are Nazi appeasers.
I don't think it's a matter of dissenting and disagreeing. But these same people don't even call them terrorists, Matt. Read the papers or freedom fighters. What the hell is that?
So the media supports the terrorists.
Fighters, they call what? There are some other words they use for.
Man, Man, you're just pulled into every single thing, aren't you?
That's what that makes the class fun.
No, I mean, like, these are
Nazi appeasement. Back in World War II, would be people that wanted to understand the Nazis and would give in to their concessions because they didn't want war. And it got 11 million Jews there. 6 million Jews and 11 million other people there, you know, by appeasing them. And just historically, when you give in to the demands of the terrorists, they're never satisfied. And if you look for historical examples of being firm working, Ronald Reagan, when he became president very early in his administration, you had a similar situation. You had a leader of the state, Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, supporting terrorism, and he had terrorist training camps in his country. We knew this, the CIA was watching him. And one day he made the mistake of having a German discotheque blown up where American GIs would go after work. It was Reagan saw it as a deliberate assault against the United States. The next morning, so, you know, Muammar Gaddafi's palace blew up, and his daughter was killed, other family members, members. He had to flee in the terrorist family. Have you ever heard of Muammar Gaddafi since? Not really.
Might have heard
about himself. Because he was within range of U.S. bombs.
But the media, the
he
media itself.
Nuclear capability.
But the media itself, it is all the entire media considered Nazi appeasers, or is it just MSNBC, CBS,
CNN.
New York Times? Are those the Nazi appeasers, or
members of them.
Is Fox included?
Members of Fox, because Fox has a broad spectrum on it. Contrary to popular belief, I mean, is Geraldo Rivera, is he a conservative?
Oh my God, no.
Is
Bill O'Reilly?
He's also a
conservative.
He's got like a talk show.
I think like saying that they're like the Nazi appeasers is kind of radical. Like you saying that just to, you know, like turn heads sort of to make people listen. But I think it is sort of true because I mean the media, as much as they try to like, they do try to be on one side, but they can never be one-sided because then that would be a biased media. So they kind of end up being like people pleasers where they have to like sort of side with everyone. But then that also makes them seem two-faced because they're saying, oh yes, I completely agree with you, but I also completely agree with you. You know what I mean? So like it's kind of a tough position because they can't just like be completely one-sided.
Yeah,
you
guys remember Abu Ghraib, the prison?
Yeah, I know.
We just gave it back to the Iraqis. The prisoners are screaming they want the Americans back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yet the media said we were